morning, brothers and sisters. Our scripture reading from the epistle comes to us from Romans chapter 13, reading from verse 8 through to 14. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The word of God.
Morning, brothers and sisters. A reading from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 18, reading from verses 15 to 20. A brother who sins against you. If your brother sins against you and not show him his fault, just between the two of you, if he listen to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. The word of God.
Master, speak, thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word. Longing for thy voice that cheereth, Master, let it now be heard. Say to me.
be seated, friends. Master, speak and make me ready when thy voice is truly heard. With obedience, glad and steady, swift to follow every word. May that indeed be the prayer of our hearts, that we would hear God's word today and be ready to obey as he speaks to us. Welcome again, friends, and welcome to those who have joined us as part of this special partnership initiative, as well as those who are visiting with us. We're happy to have you here at Ridgemount with us this morning. We have been reflecting and will continue to reflect on this matter of service over the next few weeks, what it means to serve as the people of God. Today, we're happy to share with the Men's and Women's Fellowship as they launch this initiative. You will note from the front of the bulletin that the two entities, both the men's and the women's fellowship, have service in their taglines or their motto. The men serving together and the women serving by love serve. And rooted in that, as I understand it, is that both organizations emerge out of a desire to serve. They are an extension of the church. They are the church in service. And what this today marks is a more practical and tangible step of them coming together to serve. And so I want to invite us to reflect on this idea of how we can serve together in love, not just as men and women, but as the wider church, as sisters and brothers, as people together who identify ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ. And so, having said that, though, let's begin by acknowledging that serving together can be problematic, that partnerships can cause problems. For whereas when one person does or is doing something, that person sets their agenda. They follow their own timetable. They do it when they want. They don't have to wait on anybody else. But once you involve other persons, there's a sense in which you have to cede. You have to give up some power. You might have to go at the other person's pace. If you place that within the context of the home, for example, husband and wife, oftentimes are different. Famous book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, acknowledges the differences between the genders. But it also raises the possibility of conflicts, different ways of doing things, different time in which we do things. So there's that potential problem that once people come together, that can arise. It's rivalry. Who do it better? Whose way will be more successful? That kind of thing. That's just within the home. You think of people who are business partners. They may have different timelines in terms of when they want the business to become profitable. They may have disagreements about, do we need more staff? You think within a department at work, how different people might disagree. What about those of you who are students? When I was a student, I used to hate group work, because you always have some stragglers who they just itch on, you know, but they don't do anything. And when the presentation is done, they take all the praise and they feel good. Whereas if you did it by yourself, you know, kind of thing. So those are just in those very simple ways. Those are some of the problems that may arise when we try to work together. But having said that, when we work together, it's amazing what can be achieved. More resources become available. I bring my little and you bring your little. We put them together and we have more. One cocoa full basket is a Jamaican saying. There is greater efficiency that can be achieved because I'm over here struggling by myself trying to do something and you're over there struggling by yourself to do something and it just seems hard. But when we come together, we can have a greater impact, better use of resources, and more efficient. There is an African proverb which has become popular these days. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that idea is wrapped up also and cemented by the Hebrew proverb in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and has no one to help him or her. And it goes on to say, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So these are some of the things I want us to consider this morning as we talk about partnership. That there is great potential that can be achieved and realized in when we partner together, but also be mindful that partnerships can have problems. And yet still, my claim this morning, this is what I want you to remember, if nothing else, that even though when we partner with others to work and to serve, it can provide great challenges. Those challenges and those risks are worth the reward. And so it is always better when we work together. One hand can clap. It's always better when we work together. So just a few simple things, a couple of simple things I want to lift up for us. When it comes to achieving important goals, when it comes to having significant impact, when it comes to when we really want to do something that have a lasting impact and provides a lasting value, it's best to work together. To put aside our selfishness, to lay aside our ego, and to say, if I want to do something significant, and I'm willing to work with anybody else who shares those goals, I'm willing to put my all in it because I want to achieve something. When we turn to the scriptures, we find this as an example for us. So when we look at the book of Moses, for example, Moses is called by God. And Moses has all kinds of excuses. But one of the excuses he has is that he can't talk. He's not a gifted speaker. And the Lord says to him, that's okay. I will give you somebody who will help you in that area. You are good in some things and not so much in other things. I am going to give you somebody to work with you. Aaron will become your spokesman. That's what happened. And later on, Moses is working, he's doing God's will, he's judging, but the work becomes hard. And he goes to his father-in-law, well, his father-in-law, Jethro, sees him and says, you can't continue like this. You're going to mash up yourself. You're going to burn out. You alone can't do it. You need to get some other people to come alongside you and to help you. And so Moses appoints some others to help him. And we're later on told that Joshua and Caleb were two of his best lieutenants. So that's one example. A second example is that of Jesus. Now, yes, we affirm that Jesus is all-powerful and all of that. But Jesus called 12 to himself, whom he appointed, and says, I want you to work with me. And in fact, they, minus Judas, would be the ones who would carry out the mission long after he's gone. And even among those 12, he had three, Peter, James, and John, drew closer to himself, and they were very instrumental. And while he was here, Jesus appointed 72, and he sent them out, not one by one, but two by two, to go and carry out his mission. And later on, in the life of the early church, the church at Antioch meeting, and the Spirit says, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Again, two, not just one. After a while, problems arise, and Paul and Barnabas kind of have a disagreement. Paul go one way, Barnabas go another way. But Paul took Silas with him. And Barnabas went with Mark as well. So these are just some examples where what you find is that it's not just one person trying to do everything, but joining with one other or with others to say, you know, we want to carry out an important task. We want to accomplish an important mission, and therefore let us work together in this endeavor. And so the biblical pattern drawn from these few examples suggests to us that working together enables us to achieve more than we can do simply by our own efforts. Amen, church? So it's not this idea of, well, me, myself, and I know what to do. I have the answer. I can fix it. I alone can fix it. No, it's not that kind of idea that is represented in Scripture and that we're called to as church. For what we see in Scripture is that the church is a body of people coming together. And as we have been reflecting here at Ridgemount from Romans, is as we mix our different gifts and skills, our diverse ability, and we offer them and we put them together, that we're able to achieve something significant. No one man band, no lone ranger, no going it my way, no doing it this way and this is the only way. It is as we all come together, bringing what we have, offering the gifts and the skills we have, offering them to the Lord first, and allowing the Lord to enrich them and so utilize them in the ministry and mission of the church. That, I want to suggest, is a biblical pattern. No one person has all the answers. No one person has all the necessary gifts and skills. But as each person brings what he or she has, and that is put into the pot, it comes out wonderful. Yesterday, I made some soup. I don't understand why that should be so. Yeah. I do it all the while. Now, a soup is made up of many ingredients. I'll tell you what was in mine, in case you're interested. Water, salt.